And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Welcome back to Open Lines. I trust you are going to have a very pleasant Independence weekend with your friends, family, or just yourself and listen to our show. As a matter of fact, Jimmy Church will be in tomorrow on Independence Night for you. I'll be back on Sunday, first Sunday of the month. So we'll have our live programs for you all week long. So be right with us. And I hope you're all okay from this COVID situation, which is devastating in a couple respects. One, of course, it's taken 125,000+ lives just in this country. But more importantly, in addition to, not more importantly, but in addition to, it has really disrupted a lot of people's lives. Employment, sales at retail stores. Here out in California, basically, the restaurants can only serve you if you're outside, and they're not allowed for in-seating, and it's devastating to a lot of businesses. So it's a tough, tough time for a lot of people. But you know what? It'll pass one day. We will get through this. I am convinced of that, and we will move forward. But let's take a quick break and come back with Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie back with you. My sister sent me a text yesterday. It said, call mom. And I went, uh-oh, she's 92. So I called her right away. I couldn't get her. Text my sister back, and they lived together. And I said, I tried. It's going to voicemail. She said, try again. So I gave it another try, and mom picked up the phone, and first thing out of her mouth was, stop flying. You're flying around too much. You're going to get sick. You know the way moms are. And I said, Mom, I'm fine. Southwest makes you wear the mask. I wasn't wearing one up until about a month ago. And then they really started mandating it. Initially, it was requesting it. But I pulled it down just a little bit to breathe. I mean, I find it, if you wear a mask, it really is difficult to breathe. I mean, it is not fun at all. And if it gets to be 90 degrees out, it's tough. It really is. But let's go to the phones. Brian's in Fort Erie, Ontario, to get us started. Hello, Brian. Welcome to the program. Brian? Nope, he is not there. We've had a lot of those today. How about Mike in Denver? Wildcard line. Michael, go ahead.
Hey, George. Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. It's great to talk to you again.
You and, too.
You know, I want to thank the entire Coast to Coast community and Cornelius, Thomas and La Jolla, Wayne and Tacoma, you guys are the inspiration for me getting involved with calling in. So thank you guys so much. You know, I share in your sentiment, George, that this is a very trying time for everyone, not only with COVID-19, but the recent protests. And it's been a hard time for me. And I just want to thank you for being here for everybody. You know, as a young person, it's tough because we have a lot of anxiety as it is, and you definitely help with that. So I genuinely appreciate it, George.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that.
I had a comment tonight about Jim Bruton's book, who was on earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
I had a chance to read the book, and I have to say, it was an extremely well-written book, and it's interesting because a lot of near-death experience books can be written kind of sensational, like I went to heaven and lived to tell about
exactly.
It. But this one was different, and I have to say your interview was extremely compelling. And it's interesting, when I first heard the interview, it sounded like he may have went to purgatory. You know,
I thought that too.
But we don't have a lot of testimonies of people that, you know, died and went to purgatory. So I just, you know, want to, again, thank him for sharing his story. And I think it was one of the best interviews I've heard in a long time on any radio station. So I just wanted to share that tonight.
And it was a great read, too. It's not that thick.
Yeah, exactly.
You can buzz through that book really quickly, too. How are things with the Millennial Mike?
You know, they're going good considering the circumstances. I, you know, have just been trying to get through this like everybody else, of course. And, you know, watching TV doesn't help because CNN and MSNBC, what they choose, they just, the thing is, George, they choose what they cover, you know, and they're not, you know, they're not like Newsmax or even Fox. They're very obviously liberal, and I think they have an agenda. But, you know, I highly recommend Newsmax and Free Speech TV, which our good friend Lisa Garr is a host, has a show on Free Speech TV.
She's a good person.
And, yeah, she's great.
How old are you, Mike?
I'm 24.
24 years old. When did you find the program, our show?
I started listening when I was, believe it or not, 12.
And 12 years old?
Yes, back in around 08, I think. And
how'd you get to school the next day?
Well, I it was a lot of late nights. But the show, as I've said before, you know, I've always been interested in the paranormal and paranormal subjects. And I was kind of like one of the most unpopular kids when I was in high school because of like some of my views and my interests. And, you know, Coast to Coast was always kind of a shining light for me because it helped me relate to so many people out there with similar interests. And it really helped me with my anxiety when I started calling into this show, because if you go back and listen to some of those first shows I called in,
you were nervous.
I was nervous.
You were nervous. We had to calm you down.
Exactly, George. And I, you know, you guys have given me a newfound confidence. And, you know, I try to talk to other young people about Coast to Coast because, you know, it's interesting. When we look at, like, the demographics of radio, right, and that's what the advertisers are going for, they're not targeting young people anymore. They're targeting, you know, and that's not a bad thing, but if we look at radio back in 10, 15 years ago, younger people were one of their main demographics that they were targeting. So I think that, you know, a lot of these shows out there aren't talking about important subjects like Coast to Coast and the wide variety. And I want to get younger people involved in talk radio again and make it, you know, thriving again like it was 20 years ago.
Well, I want to do something for you.
Sure.
As you know, Tom's off tonight. Took a couple days off for the holidays. But the next time he's on, which is next week, call in and I will talk to him as well. But on my next Beyond Belief taping in the Denver area, I want you to come by as our guest, and I want you to meet us.
Wow, that would be amazing. That would be.
It's not a far drive. It's in Lewiston, which is not too far from you.
Mm-hmm. And, that's kind of like a dream come true.
Yeah, come on by. I'll let you watch some of the taping, and then you know, you get you some lunch. They serve, and we'll shake hands and or fist punch, whatever you do.
Yep.
Okay.
Elbow bump. All right. Thank you so much, George. I look forward to it.
Okay,
thank you.
Mike. Good. Yeah, I got to tell you, 24 years old, and if you have any doubt about the future of our country, when you look at guys like Mike the Millennial and multiply that times thousands of other young people like that, we're going to be in great shape. Cornelius is with us in Louisiana. Here's another good guy. Hello, Corny.
Yeah, Corny. I just got off the phone with Mike. I was talking to him. He said, I'm online with Miss Donna, too. So I tell you, Mike is going to take us into the future. But, George, when you meet Mike and you and Tommy, because I've been telling him to meet y'all, so I'm so glad you made his dreams come true and stuff like that, George. I was telling Donna, the call screener, that Robert Davi, your best friend.
My buddy.
Was on, your buddy, best friend, was on the Ingram Report with David Arroyo. I can't think of his real name. But anyway, he was talking about how, you know, the country's going and all like that. But I tell you, he brought up the movie Network. And, you know, I'm mad as, you know what,
yep.
And I'm not going to take it anymore. So I thought about you, George, when he said that about Network.
He probably got the idea from us.
Yeah, there you go. But you know what, George? I worry like your mom, because I know you're around your 70s and mama is around her 90s. And, you know, moms always worry about their sons and daughters.
Cornelius, I'm 42 years old. What are you talking about?
Okay, yeah, there you go. But I'm glad you didn't come to Houston. You know, Houston's a hotbed now, so I'm so glad you and Tommy didn't come down here to Houston and stuff.
Well, let me tell you what I do. I take every day tons of supplements, but I specifically will take vitamin D3, vitamin C. I get that with Youngevity's Tangy Tangerine. I will take zinc, and I will drink tonic water with the zinc, which has quinine in it, which is part of that anti-malaria drug. It's got a little bit of that same thing. And I got to tell you, I've been fine. I have been in crowds. I've been on planes. I don't have any symptoms. Nothing. Nothing. Now, yeah. I think most Americans probably have a little tidbit of this virus in them, but their immune system keeps it suppressed.
Yeah, I do believe that. And through our prayers and stuff, we need to pray for Rush Limbaugh. We need to keep him going, too. I wanted to tell you a couple of things before we get off the air. Ruthie's listening to you, and Miss Denise, she always mails me something, and Miss Terry, Barry, Mike the Millennial, and Wayne from Washington. Had you heard about Wayne in Chicago? Had you heard anything about him?
He called in a couple weeks ago.
Oh, he did call in.
Yeah, he did. He's out there.
Miss Denise had called me the other day. You had Mark Belts on.
Right.
So Mark Belts and I talked, and I think I was the God, Guns, and Gold man then, and the Bible, Bullets, and Beans man. But I don't know if you remember this, George, when he came on, I think in 2012, John Hagee had the Four Blood Moons out too. Well, Mark Belts, he had stole that idea from Mark Belts.
Well, let's just say he borrowed it.
There you go, George. Yeah, he borrowed it. But I didn't know the backstory behind that, but somehow Hagee got a hold of his information and just took off with it.
He probably bought his book.
But that wasn't right. And I love
that happens a lot. That happens a lot.
But George, Thomas from La Jolla, I hope to meet him or he contact me or anything, because a lot of people, since I've been on the program with Art Bell and you, boy, I've gotten coast-to-coast connections out of this world. But Thomas last week on Open Lines, he said we ought to do something, being it was, I think it was around June 19th or Juneteenth, and whoever you had as guest host, about Malcolm X. Malcolm X changed his life. He hated white folks at first.
At first, yeah.
At first. And he was in the Nation of Islam, and they won a race war. And what I was going to tell you, too, about a little thing that happened here in Alexandria. On KLB.com, we had a little incident with a white police officer named Mr. Dupree and a black suspect. They were at the hospital here, at a local hospital, Rapid General. Mr. Dupree, the white officer, was very respectful because he has his cop cam on and stuff, and they've got cameras at the hospital.
Sure.
The black fellas were playing music too loud, and at a hospital, that's a quiet zone. So they left. He asked them to leave and cut their music down. They left. They come back now, George.
Oh, geez.
And so he says, well, I've got to arrest you now because you don't want to you disobeyed my orders, essentially. So he goes to arrest one, and that's fine. The guy cuffs up, no problem. Well, the second guy lets him get one handcuff on. Then he turns around and beats the man down with the hand. And so that's a weapon right there.
Yep.
He knocks the cop out.
That's how the problems start. I don't know why these people, when they get arrested, white, black, pink, or green, simply don't just abide by the arrest and stop fighting.
And then settle it later. Like you say, go ahead and get... When I was arrested by the FBI, did I fight and argue with them? No, George.
Of course not. That's why you're still here.
Yeah, that's one reason. Thank the Lord. But anyway, so I don't know if you heard of this rapper named 50 Cent. And
oh, yeah. Sure, I have.
And this guy named Tariq Nashead.
We lost a rapper. We lost a rapper in St. Louis. His name was Huey. He got shot last week.
Oh, boy. Well, that's another thing, George. It's more black-on-black crime than anything. It's not these white folks just shooting black folks down. But the narrative is just like Mike the Millennial, CNN, are put on where white folks are shooting down black folks, but won't put on where black folks are essentially killing each other. But anyway, let me finish. So the officer gets knocked out, and the guy grabs his gun. Thanks to the Lord for their black and white folks that were around there that beat the suspect down, and they tased him finally, and another officer came to help. So, but somebody put it out that the white officer spit on the guy and grabbed his hair. And so they wanted to create a racial thing here in my hometown.
Didn't happen this time, did it?
Well, it didn't happen, George, because we had the cop cam footage and stuff.
Yep.
But these people, I think they want a race war and stuff, George. They want.
Well, there are some, Cornelius. We're going to run to another call, but there are some people who do want that problem in this country, and there are others who are being paid to protest and burn and loot when some of the other protesters who are good people who simply are protesting because they believe there is injustice here are getting tainted by these other people. And we've got to be very careful with that because this country is being torn apart in the middle from things like that. Let's go next to Bill in Los Angeles. Welcome to the program. Hi, Bill.
How you doing, George?
Great. How about you?
Okay. I tried to get on the other night when you had that Sarah Scholes. Is that her last name?
Scholes, yeah.
Yeah. I felt like she was my doppelganger in many ways. because she grew up in a really tightly organized religious background and then broke away in college, and that's exactly what I did, and I became very skeptical. And by the way, I went to school with your buddy Michael Shermer. I went to high school with him.
Really? The skeptic?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was he a skeptic in school?
I did not know him. He was a year ahead of me.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And at that time, he was nobody in particular. And I just realized a couple of years ago, I was looking through a online yearbook, and there he was, uh-huh. Santa Valley High School, class of 73. And I was class 74 nearby Glendale here. So
that's small world.
Yeah. But I ended up writing for newspapers, and so I have kind of a skeptical view of what most people say. But one thing I wanted to talk with Sarah about, and I got bumped because there was just not enough time, and I wanted to ask you, even though I'm skeptical about probably 90% of the stuff I hear people talk about on your program, the one thing that intrigues me, and I run it by younger kids because I'm a tutor and a teacher too, and they're fascinated by it, is the 1952 flyover that was documented in newspapers over Washington.
Yes. And it's in the pictures are in the paper.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a film of it, too. You've seen that, right?
I sure have.
Yeah. And there's President Truman acknowledging to the press, oh, yeah, we're talking about flying saucers. And I think of all the documented episodes, even the I think it's Lonnie Zamora you like to mention.
Yep, the late police officer. That's right.
Right. But the advantage, I think, for this documentation, it's numerous things. It's the newspapers documented it. The Air Force documented going after it twice. President Truman documented it. And it's on film, not on video, which at that time you could not alter.
Exactly. They didn't have the kind of computer graphics to play around with at the time, and it is a truly, and you're absolutely right, Bill, it is one of the most compelling cases, and it's real. Flying over the Capitol, the UFOs all over the place, and it's on film. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. By the way, Sunday night, full moon night when we're on, so get ready for that. Let's go right to the phones. Let's go to Lindsay in Amherst, Massachusetts, east of the Rockies. Lindsay, welcome to the program.
Hey, George. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. What's new?
Hey, so I was wondering, you know, you were talking about the psychic earlier, and I was just wondering if you know if there's any connection between, you know, doing the psychic pendulum and contacting alternate worlds or alternate universes that may be parallel to our own.
That's interesting. I don't think he's ever done that before. I've used the pendulum once in a while. Originally, I just wanted to see how it would work, and then I used it as kind of like a game, and then it gets to be kind of serious. I don't use it a lot, but it is incredible how it works. And again, what I did is I took a piece of paper, made a circle, and you know how you nod yes for something? So I just put yes and yes on the top and bottom. And then when you say no, how you go left and right with your head, I put no and no on the other side of the circle, and then I put a dot in the middle. So then I held my pendulum right over it with my elbow on a table. And so the thing is dangling. And then you will it to stop, and it stops. That's kind of cool. And then you think yes, and it goes up and down, up and down. And you will it to say no. It slows down and goes left and right, left and right. It's amazing. Then, once you're kind of tuned into that, you begin to ask it yes and no questions, and it's remarkable how that works. But I've never tried it for, you know, other worlds or universes or anything, and definitely I don't think Dan Baldwin did at all. But I'll ask him next time we talk to him. Let's go next to Yeager in Wynnewood, Oklahoma. Welcome to the program. Hi, Yeager. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, George. How you doing?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
I'm good, and it's actually Wynnewood.
Wynnewood. Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, home of Joe Exotic. First thing I want to say is I want to say thank you for what you're doing. People may not think you all are essential, but y'all are. You're keeping guys like me enlightened and entertained and informed.
Thank you. I appreciate that. More than you know.
What I was going to bring up was, one, on the dowsing, this is a good one for anybody that wants to try it. Start asking for the boss of all reapers. You'd be amazed.
The boss of all reapers?
Uh-huh.
What happens?
Well, for one, that was my mother in this life. That's her job.
The boss of all reapers?
Mm-hmm. I've done several past life, and we've gone back a long time on the whole bunch. There's about five of us in Oklahoma that all have worked for her at some point.
Huh.
And that's a great way to get a lot of information, especially about other planes of existence, whether you want to call them universes, dimensions, or levels of consciousness.
Now, aren't reapers kind of evil entities?
No, reapers are generally neutral. There are things can be evil. We call them red reapers.
I think that? Because I think of the Grim Reaper.
Yeah, that's the stereotype, typical thought of it. But, I mean, they're anything from celestial and astral to pits of hell to everything in between.
Sure. Okay.
But I was going to tell you, we've had a rash down here at the refinery, which I'm actually in the refinery at the moment. We've had a rash of Bigfoot sightings outside the refinery.
Really?
And we got one on camera. The flare camera caught a very clear cryptid.
What's it look like?
I'd say about 8 foot tall and very nasty looking. It almost looks like he's been rolling in a patch of grease from one of the leaking tanks.
Okay, okay. Maybe he has been.
It's possible. They've also had two sightings at Foster, Oklahoma. That's also Garvin County. I actually went out there to check up on the last thing outside of Foster a couple hours ago.
Are people hearing this thing too?
People are hearing it. People are seeing it. There's video of a chupacabra that's been spotted.
Now, has this video at all been posted?
I have no idea.
Send it to us if you find it.
I will. I got the phone call about it, and of course, me and the shotgun went out to see if we could find it.
You're not going to just shoot it, right?
Shoot the wound. That's what they taught us in the Army. Shoot the wound. And the last thing is, George, I've been listening since it was Dreamland with Art Bell back in about 95.
God, that goes way back.
Yeah, that's how long I've been listening to it, since I was a little kid. And sometime, George, I would love it. I've tried to be a guest. I've gotten real close. I'd love to have you pick my brain, because I know topics from paranormal, cryptozoology, near death, out of body. I've studied as under a druid priest. I have taught as a druid priest.
Really?
Elemental, yes. Blacksmithing, ufology, string theory, all kinds. My brain is just, I'd love to have you and guests pick, you know, just callers pick my brain for info.
Do we have your phone number and stuff? I'll put you on hold. You can give it to Donna.
I will. I'll give it to her because, like I said, I would love it. And
now, do you have a website out by any chance or anything like that?
No, I do. Everybody knows me, word of mouth, and I'm gonna level with you. A lot of calls I get are people that find me on Telegram or know somebody that knows me and go, "Hey,
right, word of mouth.
What's going on? Get a hold of him for me."
Okay. All right, I'm going to put you on hold. Give Donna some personal information about yourself so we can get a hold of you, which includes your phone number and your email address, if you would. West of the Rockies, Gina Maria with us, state of Washington. Hello, Gina Maria. Hello, hello. Boy, we got some people disappearing on us. I wonder if we're getting some phone problems today. That's three times. Steve in Elizabeth, Colorado, first-time caller. Hey, Steven, go ahead. Uh-oh. Steve, you there? That's four. Let's try Bill in Dubuque, Iowa. Bill, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're there. Okay. That's good. Strange.
It's very hard to get a hold of you. I've been trying for a few days. But anyway, I'm a old-time listener for Art Bell. In fact, I have a picture of Art and me in the pyramids. That's many, many years ago. And anyway, the reason why I called, a few weeks ago, you had a program on the Council of Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission.
Yep.
I have a pamphlet on them, and it was 1995, and it's about the Clinton era, the Reagan, and the Carter, and you're welcome to have this if I could get your address.
Sure. You gonna mail it, or you want to email it to us?
No, I'm 85 years old.
you're old school, as they say.
There you go. No, I just want to mail it to you if I could get your address. And you're welcome to have it. I might have another one here. I don't know, a couple of them. But if I do, I'm more than glad to send it to you.
All right. Well, I'll put you on hold, and Donna can give you our mailing address, okay?
Okay, that'd be fine, and I really appreciate talking to you.
Okay, my friend. Thank you so much. Donna, give him our mailing address, if you would. And that's Bill in Dubuque. Let's go to Dave in Montreal. Welcome to the program. Hi, David.
Oh, George, I'm so happy you're back on here on CJD 800.
Oh, yes.
I really missed you.
They loved us. They loved us, but they were going through that COVID situation
Go ahead. Sorry, George.
No, that's okay. They were just, you know, Canada was going through that COVID situation and needed to do some local programming. So
yeah,
we understand.
Yeah, program. Here was the problem. It was Monday to Friday. On the weekends, they reviewed it, and we're trying to call. And I just love AM radio, like all your callers, even the guy before. I'm calling you from Canada.
Yeah.
I love you, George. I grew up on radio. I love AM radio. I'm so happy to talk to you. I'm so proud. You are a real role model to me. You let everyone talk and say their piece, right or wrong. And this is the way it should be.
That's the way this country should be, this world should be. By the way, I have relatives who live in Montreal.
Really?
Yes, they're out there. They're in the city. They've been there for years. My dad introduced me to them. I only met them a couple times, but I was there. When was the expo in Montreal?
1967.
Seven. That's when I met them. Yep.
Great. I was born in 74.
Super.
And I live in Lachine, and it's from 1667 we were a town. But like your caller before, George, that you said he still loved radio, and you said maybe email me and something. I could do something from Canada and really try and help the show go. Like you had a caller like about four or five before, not the ones you missed that dropped the weird night.
It's weird night. Weird night.
Full moon. But if you wanted, I would be happy to represent Canada. It took me so long to get through.
You be our Canadian correspondent, David.
Yes. Oh, George, that would be fantastic. I don't even have a TV. I listen to radio. You're my lifeline. Unless I go to my daughter's divorce, and then we can watch your catch up on your shows.
So is it Quebec or Quebec?
Quebec. Bienvenue tout le monde. Je t'aime tout le monde. Okay.
I hope whatever you said was okay.
I love everyone. Welcome to Canada. Happy July 4th.
Hey, let me ask you something, David. Your cases of COVID in Canada are way down compared to the United States. What are you folks doing differently than we're not?
Some people aren't listening, but really people are really scared here. And they don't go out. I know a lot of people have restaurants and stuff, but takeout's popular. And people wear masks. People are nervous.
Is everything still shut down, basically?
No. Everything's starting to open. The bars are coming back, and soon they'll have the gambling. But you're allowed groups of no more than 50, especially at the golf course.
Well, let's see if the cases go back up again, then.
We worry about everyone in Florida and the states. We worry. My uncle and aunt and cousins live in Florida. I worry. They're wearing masks. I don't know, but I totally would love if I could stay alive and be your correspondent from Canada.
All right, my friend. All right, David, you keep in touch with us, my friend. And anytime anything breaks in the Canada area, and by the way, happy Canada Day yesterday, day before. And hope everything's going well with you. Let's go to Dana in Alabama, east of the Rockies. Hi, Dana. Welcome to the program.
How you doing, George?
Okay. Good to have you with us.
Hey, I just got a question.
Sure.
Why hasn't Black Lives Matter really got after the masses in the United States, being all I was a slave trader?
Well, that's an interesting situation, too. They were.
They're still. Yeah, he was a slave trader, and I think his father was a slave trader, and you know, it's this slavery in the South is just a blip on the radar, you know.
Compared to what was going on, oh my God!
Yeah, all around the world, you know.
Well, how about those lunatics who grabbed people and put them on ships and chained them?
Well, the thing about it is, you know. The people in Africa didn't want them. They put them on ships. You called.
They did. You had some African tribal leaders who actually sold some of the people in Africa to these slave traders.
Went up the coast of the United States trying to grow rice.
Yep.
You had some rice experience, you know.
Horrible situation.
I can't understand why the mosque, you know, is not even.
How could people, though, even during those periods, how could they not know that this was wrong?
You know, that's a big question. You know, I mean, you got a soul, a person, a human, and you, I mean.
I don't get it.
He belongs to you, you know? I mean, that don't make sense, you know?
I just don't get it. And this, you know.
I do wonder that question, you know. I don't hate the masses. I don't hate nobody, you know. But it's just strange to me, you know, that they're not, you know, saying, hey, you know, this guy right here was a slave trader, you know. I don't know. It's a crazy world we're living in.
It is one of the strangest time periods I have ever had in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And we've gone through it all. Okay, my friend. I mean, I was thinking last week the things I've gone through just on this planet since I was born. You know, I was born when the Korea War was kicked around. I was way too young to know what that was all about. But then I went through Vietnam. I've been through every war that we've had since then, Afghanistan, Iraq, and those situations. I was able to see man land on the moon. I'll never forget that. I was around when Kennedy got assassinated. I mean, all of us who have lived during this time period have gone through some truly remarkable things in our lives that we'll never, ever forget. And we continue to see it. I mean, even what's going on right now with COVID and protesting and everything else, it's something that we will probably never forget for the rest of our lives. But we always seem to get through it as much as we bounce through it. This has been a rough one, probably one of the roughest in a long, long time, but we're going to get through it. And one of the things we're going to get through is more open lines when we come back in a moment on Coast to Coast. So just get ready to go. And those of you that are on hold, don't hang up. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And you could email me at george@coasttocoastam.com.